24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Show. You're listening to your host, Valerie A. Campbell. Vibe is an acronym for vision, intention, belief, expectation, and it's also short for vibration. So, what vibe are you emitting today? Remember, your feeling is a vibration that you're emitting to the universe, and the universe responds with your wish is my command and gives you a circumstance or an experience to match that vibration. So if you're not feeling good right now, press that reset button and ask yourself, what do I want? To get yourself right back into alignment of feeling good and therefore attracting in what you want. Now, as I sit here in London on a very beautiful and sunny day, looking through my window, you would think it's just a normal day. But of course, as we know, the whole world is on lockdown, bar a few countries. And there is a great concern. The world will never be the same again, that I can guarantee you. After this is all over, after we experience the aftermath of C-19. However, it's a period whereby I think we can now really acknowledge that our separation has really been the cause of pain, as it's in the isolation that we're really able to establish a closer connection. Not just with our loved ones, you know, bar a few out there, they're probably struggling to get away. But I would say a closer connection with God. So this morning, I just wanted to share from the sunny space of London just a little bit about my spiritual belief and many people's spiritual beliefs as a Christian. And my intention is for non-believers at this time to know that, you know, the God that I serve is bigger than any pandemic, bigger than any virus, that he is an all-inclusive God that loves us all. In the Bible, it tells us that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And even when you just think about the Our Father prayer, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer tells us of his inclusive nature. And I believe that no one is exempt from that when they reach out to our Creator. And of course, I respect, that people out there do not believe in God, but maybe this is the time in which you should. As I mentioned, he's an all-inclusive God. He includes the rich, the poor, the sad, the happy, the lost and the found, the just and the unjust, the sick and the well, the dead and the living, the black and the white, the rights and the wrongs. He makes the rain fall on each and every one of us. The light and the dark. And we're in a period of time where I would actually describe this part time as a period of darkness. But when you really think about it, what is darkness? Stars require darkness to shine. And so this period of isolation, I see as God will turn evil into good. He will turn this situation around because all of us are of equal value to his purpose. And I believe that his purpose is ultimately one of unity and of our recognition of him as our Father. So anything of equal value to God is the same in his eyes. Now, God's all-inclusive nature exempts no one. And he doesn't see you singularly as special. This would mean he sees you as separate from him. So when God sees us as one, it denies specialness. I believe it's better for us to describe ourselves as unique in his sight. He loves us uniquely. So there's no difference in his love, and we all have the opportunity to partake in it. Now, one of my practices every morning is to give the first hour of my day to his Spirit, which resides in each and every one of us. My belief is that our bodies just serve as a barrier, but ultimately we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. And so I use the morning to connect with my Spirit, because I believe that I can only ever have a narrow perspective. Just like you, the listener, you can only ever have a narrow perspective, but God's Spirit sees us all, and so therefore he has the full perspective. And because of that, I choose that time in the morning to lean on his understanding and not my understanding of a situation. So it's a time where I can meditate and I can glean insight from his Spirit just by being still. So maybe it's a practice that you can actually take up in your period of isolation, of just taking time to meditate, reflect on God's word, and allow room for the Holy Spirit to take a place in your life, and for you to listen to his word, because ultimately that word will clean up your mind. And what I love about the Spirit is the Spirit is all about peace. And whatever problem that you're going through, it will meet that problem with fairness and impartiality in its truest sense. I mean, like, I've had situations where the problem is completely resolved. No one feels hard done by. No one loses. There's literally no room for attack of any kind. And when you think about it, the way that the world hands out so-called justice, in other words, where one gains and the other loses, it just allows room for the perpetuation of problems, of discord and disharmony. But I believe that in God's all-inclusive vision, God's all-inclusive perspective, no one deserves to lose. And as humans, we judge on the effects, but God judges on the cause. What do I mean by that? He knows why you do what you do. Hurt people hurt people. Whereas we might just look on the effects, on the commercial representation of that hurt. God looks deeper. He sees all of us. And so he judges on the cause. And only he has the right to judge, because he can see everything. And right now, I imagine that in some homes, there is conflict where being separate actually helped to alleviate the problem in the home. But now there are people in homes that are perhaps going through abuse. There's no respite for them, because whereas work was a place they could get away, or children could have school to get away, there are people that are at home suffering. Because now it's a time of isolation. You can't escape it. So it's a time where we have to turn to God. And personally, my perception is that our court system is not about justice. As is often the case, it's about revenge. And so We need the spirit in our lives. We need our spirit to deal with problems in court, problems in relationships. We need God's spirit in our life. So clearly we need healing. We need healing and we need restoration. And that is available for everyone. It's not kept for some and withheld from those deemed less worthy. No. All of God's children are entitled to restoration and to peace. Therefore, from God's problem solving, we receive perfect justice. Now, when I say restoration, what do I mean? Well, I believe that our minds were not as God intended it to be. There is so much conflict in the world. There is so much lies in the world that we think we are a certain person because of that and also because of our programming. And so we've lost sight of who we actually are, how God originally intended us. And I believe that through God's word, that you can begin to renew your mind and restore your mind and reset your mind back to who you originally are. And this has been the purpose of God from the very beginning. And so perfect justice is there just waiting at our side. But because we have free will, evil has entered our world. Now, perfect justice dictates that you reap what you sow. What you give, you receive. In other words, when you give to another, you give to yourself. And when you deprive another, you deprive yourself. When you're unjust to another, you are unjust to yourself. So we are connected. We are connected. And the world that we see sacrifices oneness in preference to disunity. You see, if I see you as a separate body from myself, and you are a separate body, but you're not separate from me spiritually, how would I treat you if I see you separate? Will I truly be able to honor the law, love your neighbor as you love yourself? The second greatest commandment. No, we won't. So we have to realize that the judgments that we impose on what we see can't limit God in any way. And we do that, don't we? We put judgments upon another, but God's law, God's commandment always stands. So if we could just pay attention to it. Now, the Holy Spirit will deal with the problem, our problems, in a way that neither party will feel that they have lost or gained. And I'm talking about in a practical sense. And we'll deal with that problem in a way that that problem will never raise its head again. That's the beauty of leaning on the Spirit for understanding, leaning on the Spirit for justice. It will look at the wrong or the right with equal value. It will look at each perspective with equal value and bring about an outcome that reflects peace. So to demonstrate this, let's look at a practical example. So, you know, I'm a dating coach, so I have to touch on this area. So, as a love coach, I want to give you an example. So, suppose a married couple has an argument. He says he's right, she says he's wrong. Now, in line with scriptural law, you ought to present that conflict to Spirit. And Spirit recognizes our oneness. especially when you're married. You know, the Bible tells us they are no longer two, but one flesh. And I want to just use an example of a couple that I know that shared, she shared this story with me. She confided in me that in the early part of her marriage, there was a time that she felt like giving up. She got married in her early 20s. She was a university student, as was her husband, and she was a very headstrong and not to be easily bossed around type of character. And she explained to me that there was a time that she was writing a dissertation, and her husband, despite her mentioning several times, just seemed oblivious of her need for silence. And she said he would just have friends around impromptu, and being students, they would be really noisy in their behavior. So imagine one day she's sat there and she's studying and she's researching and she's putting her information together. And then without warning, she said he came home with friends. The noise began, and because she was already feeling the pressure of a deadline, she says she just felt this surge of anger literally just well up within her, ready to spill over. But she was a very prayerful person, and she said that suddenly she felt prompted by the Spirit to hold her tongue. My friend then got up, served the guest amicably, and returned to her desk. And a few minutes later, her husband looked across at her. He then ushered the guest out, and he approached her with an apology for his insensitivity, all without her even saying a word. She explained to me that 15 years later, they're still married, and she says 95% of the time, because she's not perfect, she uses the approach of handing over her problems, her narrow perspective, to the Spirit to resolve conflict and maintain peace in her marriage. So the reason why I'm telling you this story, this encounter, is that what you have to know is that God's Spirit lives in each and every one of us. The name above all names sees the full perspective, sees everything. Therefore, his perspective is the mightiest of us all. We just have a narrow perspective. So when you take conflicts and problems to the Spirit will bridge that gap and prompt you to resolve that situation in a way that brings peace to all parties involved. So how do we practically deal with confrontation? Well, we have to do it with effective communication, with God, Spirit, right at the center. You know, compartmentalizing or burying the issue doesn't mean the energy of it goes away. It just causes delay. Whilst allowing the problem to take root and to grow. So that's why it's important to deal with issues straight away. Don't bottle it up, okay? And use the opportunity to communicate your boundaries before these roots of conflict take hold. Now I say, use the opportunity. I'm going to explain to you how to create an opportunity in just a moment. Now, conflict comes from the energy of I'm right and you're wrong. It is a divisive energy that causes separation, and it needs to be addressed before a speed bump becomes a hill and the hill becomes a mountain. that cannot be surmounted. There are countless breakdowns in relationships and divorces in marriages which could have been avoided if dealt with in a spiritual way. So when you have communication with spirit at the center of any conflict, it is core to every strong, authentic connection. When you're made to feel wrong by a person, it actually stops you from trusting them to hear or to respect you. Conflict lives in the energy of I'm right and you're wrong. And it is the most divisive energy. It is the most divisive energy between two or more people. So God's spirit is in us and it recognizes our connection, and therefore it saves relationships when we ask spirit to intervene. Because our God is a God of love. And so it's essential that we bring his spirit of love into our relationships. So let's now look at the how to, or what I mentioned, and how you can actually create an opportunity to resolve conflict and how to effectively confront negative issues that would otherwise cause you to disconnect. Now in the Bible, in Matthew 18:15, it says, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So let's look at the how to. So first of all, state your intention. Okay, so just imagine that's a heading. State your intention, number one. And so what you do is you create a space. Okay, you open the conversation with that person and you express first with appreciation what you genuinely love, admire, or respect about that person. So you might say something like, you know, I really admire the fact that you work so hard and you're so committed to saving lives, or I respect you for diddy-dum. You know, you fill in the gap with what you appreciate about that person. So open up your conversation like that. Now, express that you'd like to have a conversation to enable the both of you to establish a greater connection. So now you're stating your intention. And the purpose of this conversation, state it, is that you want to have a greater connection and you want both your needs to be met. And again, you can say something like, you know, I want us to have an opportunity to get back on track, or I want to clear the air, or I want to decharge, or, you know, if you're in a romantic relationship, you might even say, you know, I'd feel so supported if I could just decharge with you. Okay, I'd feel great if you could do that for me. And you see, when you approach it like that, what you're actually doing is you laying aside your ego, because egos can clash, can't they? But the spirit doesn't have ego. And so when you do that, you're actually making room for the spirit, our Holy Spirit. Now, number two, so you've stated your intention. What you now do is you state the facts. And when I say facts, I mean facts. You state it where, in a way where there is no emotional charge around what you're about to state. You must be emotionally centered. State simply the facts. So for example, let's use a very simple example. We agreed to meet at 8 p.m. Yes, see, the person can agree with that because, yes, actually, yes, we did agree to meet at 8 p.m. You didn't turn up for the meeting, fact, okay? And I did not receive a call to say you could not make it. That's a fact. You didn't receive a call. You're not saying that the person didn't call, but you're saying that you did not receive a call. You see, you have stated a fact. So it's very important to keep it strictly factual. Because if you don't, your conversation will go off at a tangent that you didn't intend. So don't bring up the past. You can't change it. Just state the fact. And then number three, state your feelings. When you did that, this is how I felt. I felt frustrated. I felt that my time was unappreciated. You know, I could have organized my morning differently. I'm now feeling really overwhelmed. And the reason why you state your feelings is because a person can't argue with how you feel. How you feel is how you feel. Yes, that's your truth. And in the expressing of it, it will allow you to feel liberated from the weight of carrying something that has been unexpressed. Now, then give the other person the chance to express their side, okay? So they may say something like, well, this is what happened. I actually did call you, but maybe you were in an area where you couldn't receive the call, or maybe, you know, I was in a no connection zone and I tried. Give the person an opportunity to express their side. And most often that other person will say, you know, I apologize. I appreciate where you're coming from. Yeah, you can use those words too after allowing the person to express their side. And then the third thing that you do is you make a new agreement.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.